Welcome to The Laptop Lifestyle. I'm your host, Alexis Teichmiller, digital content creator for brands and companies and online entrepreneur. Whether you're running a business full-time, starting a side hustle, or just beginning to think about starting a business, you are in the right place. The Laptop Lifestyle is for you, the unconventional thinker, the person who isn't afraid to step outside of their comfort zone and pursue creativity over complacency. Each week, we will unlock how to build passionate online communities and thriving online businesses. All right, Laptop Lifestylers, let's jump in. Hello, hello, Laptop Lifestylers. It is your host, Alexis Teichmiller here, and today on the show, I have one of my good friends. Her name is Sarah Bell, and I met Sarah Bell about 7 months ago, and guys, I cannot tell you how entertaining, honest, and real this episode that you're about to listen to. I love Sarah Bell for her energy and because of just how honest and open she is. And so we really dive in. But first, let me tell you a little bit about who Sarah Bell is. So Sarah Bell Elizabeth is a content creator who started out on YouTube 8 years ago. Now, with over 360,000 YouTube subscribers and 285,000 Instagram followers, she evolved her channel from makeup tutorials into a lifestyle one-stop shop for everything on Instagram, YouTube, and her blog. Throughout the years, she's worked with brands like Macy's, Kohl's, Neutrogena, Revolve, Show Me Your Moo Moo, and a lot more. This girl has inspired me so much. Her content is so creative, and she has a way of just making life look just so magical and in its everyday capacity. And I love whenever content creators can do that. And Sarah is definitely someone that has inspired me a lot over the last year. And I cannot wait for her story to inspire you too. If you guys are listening to this episode, could you guys do me a favor? Can you screenshot you listening to this episode on your phone? And can you tag me on Instagram in that screenshot? I would love that. Tag me at Alexis Teichmiller, or you can also tag Sarah too at Sarah Bell Elizabeth. We both want to know what you guys think of this show. The whole reason I do this podcast is because I care about this community that we're creating together. And so anytime I get a chance to hear how episode makes you feel, or, you know, things you liked about it, didn't like about it, whatever, I'm very open to feedback. I just really love hearing from you guys. So take a screenshot right now and tag me on it over on Instagram, and let's be friends. All right, guys, that's enough from me. I'm going to dive into this show with Sarah Bell. It's a good one. And also, please excuse our giggle fits, because they are pretty hilarious. And I decided, for the sake of being authentic and real, I left a few of our giggle fits in this episode. So I hope you guys enjoy and laugh along with us.
What up, Laptop Lifestylers? It is your host, Alexis Teichmiller here, and today I have on a very, very special guest. She is one of my good friends here in Nashville. Welcome to the Laptop Lifestyle, Sarah Bell.
Do I just say hi?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, it's me, Sarah Bell. I'm so excited to be here with Alexis. We've talked about this for so long, and we're finally making it happen.
I know. Sarah, I've known you for like 6 months now, and I met her at Bonnaroo back in May, June-ish, and I immediately knew that her and I were going to be friends. She's so creative. She has a killer YouTube channel with over like 300,000 subscribers and an awesome Instagram. She's so creative and has a really cool way of making everyday life seem really magical, especially with your clothes and your style. So I just kind of want to jump in and just tell everyone how you got into this space. Like, how did you start a blog? When did you start it? Like, how did you even know that this was something that you wanted to make a career out of?
I actually started my YouTube channel back when I was 16 years old. At least I think I was 16. I had just quit cross country because my coach and I just did not get along. And so I needed something to like fill my time. And eventually that kind of led me to watching YouTube videos all the time. I was like, these girls can do it. I can do it. Let's just try it. Didn't know anything about makeup. decided one day that was what I was going to do. And so I just started with my MacBook, opened it up one day and started recording. And then people actually watched it, which was the craziest thing ever. And eventually I had to tell my parents because a girl came up to me when I was shopping at Sephora. My mom was with me and she was like, "Are you Sarah?" And I was so bashful because my mom was just like, "What is going on?" And it was so embarrassing. I remember exactly what I was wearing. So I had to tell her I made videos, like sitting in front of a camera, talking to myself.
Wait, so you hid this from your parents?
Yeah. Because it was such like a weird thing to do at the time, because like now it's normal. But like I was just starting out and like there weren't many YouTubers. And so I would just like talk really like quiet in my videos in my room. And my parents had no idea. And I would be getting packages, but I didn't have a job. So they were like, "How is she affording all this stuff?" And eventually I just had to tell them. And then eventually the entire school found out. And I was just like, "This is so embarrassing," but it ended up being awesome because it's like the best job ever. So that's basically how I started the whole YouTube thing.
Yeah. And this was 8 years ago, 9 years ago. Yeah. So 8 or 9 years ago, yeah, it would feel weird sitting in your room talking to a camera to people on the internet that you didn't know. Because like you grow up with your parents telling you not to talk to strangers. And then here you are like creating content and putting videos out to talk to strangers on the internet, which is so funny. So that was in high school. And then you transitioned into college. How did you know you wanted to keep blogging? What did that transition look like? Was it just talking about beauty? Like, how did you transition into college and then out of college, you know, you moved to LA and then like that whole experience?
So I was thankfully like lucky enough to kind of like think about like what I really wanted to do with my life and like how I wanted to do it. So I had the option to go away for college and then I ended up staying home for college. So I mean, I went to a college, but like it was off campus. And so I lived with my parents. And so I was able to continue the whole like YouTube thing while also balancing classes and sorority and everything like that. And I think that's kind of like why my channel grew, because a lot of YouTubers these days, like just, I mean, they are so successful, which good for them. I'm so happy for these people that are able to do that. But my parents are those kind of people that are like, "You have to go to college." And it was never an option for me not to go, but I like always wanted to go. And being like, I guess, relatable in that aspect kind of got me a following. And I was able to kind of like, you know, change my channel from like a makeup channel to more of just like a lifestyle, like, "Hey, I'm in college. This is what I'm doing. Here's some advice and how I did it." And I was so lucky for that. And I mean, honestly, that's exactly how I was able to transition all 4 years and even take it to LA.
Mm-hmm. And I think what makes you so relatable is it's not just you talk about this one thing over and over again. And you do specialized videos, which there are a lot of people on YouTube. I mean, YouTube's a big space. The internet's a big space. And there, I think there's a specific place for everyone in that. But I also really appreciate when creators show the creative process and actually talk about like what they're struggling with or what their goals are for the year. Like, it's not just about this one specific topic. Did you always know that you wanted to create like a wide variety of content, or was it always something really specific, or did you give yourself the creative freedom to kind of just do whatever you wanted?
Ideally, I always wanted to do whatever I wanted, but that wasn't necessarily the case. It's really hard to, you know, succeed sometimes because you get so overwhelmed with like comparing what other people are doing. And so you get kind of lost in that. I was about to say lost in the sauce, but that's like completely wrong. You just get lost in like the translation and everything like that. And you just want to be like everyone else. And so I found myself doing a lot of the time the videos that were popular that I necessarily didn't like. And I mean, eventually, honestly, I just said, "F this, like, I don't want to be doing that because I'm not good at that. Like, that's not my strong suit. Like, mm-hmm. I need to be doing something that actually reflects what I'm doing." And so I feel like now, after especially moving away from LA, I'm not around all the creatives that are YouTubers and stuff. So it's a lot easier just to be like, "Okay, Sarah, this is what you need to be doing because this is, I mean, this is the stuff that I want to put out."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to talk about LA Because you and I off this podcast, have talked a lot about you moving to LA and being there and what that whole experience was like. And actually, when you told me that story was when I knew that you and I were going to be really good friends, because I could see that you went out and you chased this dream that you wanted to do, but also what was like maybe everyone else was doing or what the popular YouTube thing was. And then you stopped yourself in your tracks and you made a different decision and you ended up moving to Nashville. But I love this story so much, if you're like comfortable sharing that, like that transition into moving out to LA, what did you find there? And then why did you decide to leave?
So I moved out to LA just for summertime with my best friend that does YouTube too, Caitlin. And we were like living our best lives, just turned 21, having so much fun. And we were able to like kind of balance off each other. So like we could help, she would help me, I would help her. It was awesome. And so I was like, I for sure need to move as soon as I graduate college. So graduated college, decided not to go to law school, which is wild in my parents' mind, I'm sure. But I ended up moving, and I think I moved 5 days after I graduated. So I really just packed up my bags and was like, bye, Kentucky. And yeah, so I thought when I was moving out there that I'd be hanging out with YouTubers all the time. We're going to do all these crazy things and go to all these events, and it's going to be so glamorous. I'm going to be so motivated to, you know, put out that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I mean, within like a month, I quickly realized that was not the case at all. I mean, I'm friends with a lot of YouTubers, but it was so hard for me to make friends because, I mean, at the time I was in a completely different relationship and I just wanted to stay at home. I made probably a total of like 3 really close friends when I was out in LA, which is awesome. I still keep in touch with them to this day and I'm very fortunate for that. But I quickly realized how superficial the friendships that I was making out there. It was mainly like, what can you do for me? Which is a typical thing. Everyone always says that about LA. And I hate even having to say that that happened to me too. Mm-hmm. But like, you just really got to watch yourself. And I feel like that's a case for any city, any big city at least, is you can fall in the wrong crowd and you can kind of be around that toxic, self-advancing kind of crowds. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that wasn't for me. And I was so happy to be living where I was living, very fortunate with my best friend. And I just knew it wasn't for me anymore. I was like, I can't live here anymore. I figured that out probably like a year and a half into living in LA, that this was not the life for me. And I had to tell my friends, and it was so sad. I was like, you know, I love you guys, but like, I can't do this anymore. I need to move somewhere where I'm like motivated to actually post stuff, because I mean, I would just film because I felt like I had to film. Mm-hmm. And my Instagram was just like, it was so boring, honestly. Like, I feel like my content out there is just not good. And that's kind of like not a good feeling when you feel like you're producing content that's like not good. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I just didn't feel fulfilled. And eventually I just decided that I needed to find a city that was more for me. And I knew I wanted to be somewhere closer to home. And so thankfully, my best friend Caitlin and I booked a trip to Nashville in September of 2016. And we loved it. Like, she loved it, which I was surprised she was going to love it because she is not Nashville, but I feel like everyone can be Nashville, you know what I mean? Yeah. But like, a lot of people assume it's going to be like country singing and everything like that. And we just had the time of our lives, and I was like, this is exactly where I need to be. So I ended up deciding to move, and then I found my apartment in February, signed a lease, and was out here by April.
Dude, that's amazing.
It was wild.
Expensive. Yeah, moving is expensive. So do you feel like a part of why you felt like your content wasn't what you wanted to be? Because as a creator, as an entrepreneur, as someone that's putting something out into the world, you, and that's your job, you know, specifically as a YouTuber, you want to feel proud about the work that you're doing. And that's actually I just watched Sarah's 2018 New Year's like goals, and I'll link it up in the show notes of this podcast episode too. But she shared about how she's not going to post any more filler. Like, I don't want to post any kind of content that I'm not proud of. Will you kind of dive into that more? And like, what does it feel like to post things that you're not proud of? And how unmotivating it is sometimes to feel like you have to post this kind of content that everyone else is posting? Because I know that you know, for you listening right now, you might feel like there's a lot of things that you should do. If you want to grow your Instagram, you should do this. If you want to start an online business, you have to do these steps. And I really don't think that that's the case anymore. There's so many avenues that people can grow and become really successful in that isn't the same path that everyone else took. And I love that you're seeing that and like owning that.
I'd say like 3 years ago, there was like a recipe for success on YouTube. It was like, you have to oversaturate your videos. So make it like super colorful, be really perky, and you have to do like morning routines, evening routines, and everything like that. And personally, I hate filming that kind of video. And so anytime I filmed that kind of video and would spend hours on hours editing it, I felt like it was super impersonal. And that's the kind of videos that I feel like I can't, like that I'm not fulfilled posting, if that makes sense, because I'm not really kind of connecting with the viewership and stuff. So when I noticed that like that was not my path, but that wasn't making me successful, I guess, I was just kind of chasing that success as opposed to putting stuff out there. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think like I would have been so much more successful if I would have just like went my own little recipe. Mm-hmm. But I decided not to do that. And I guess it's all about like living and learning. But yeah, so I wasn't connecting with people. And I think people were even calling me out on that. And I was like, you're so wrong, because I can be a little sassy sometimes. But eventually I was just like, okay, I got to make a change. And I really feel like occasionally when I was living out in LA, I was doing some videos that I was like, hell yeah, these are awesome videos. And maybe like ones talking about like advice for college and kind of connecting, whether that be like videos kind of like as an older sister to my viewers, mm-hmm. maybe about sex or drinking in college, just all that kind of stuff that like it's kind of taboo to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I was connecting with people. People were like thanking me, being like, you know, I don't have an older sister. And that was like fulfilling to me. Then when I moved here, I was like, for sure, like I'm going to be able to make the best content ever. And I feel like I even went through like a little path of like not really posting videos on my YouTube channel when I moved to Nashville, because I really wasn't motivated. And whenever I was posting videos, I was just posting it because I felt like I needed to. And so once again, I felt like I was just kind of going through like a little cycle of videos, basically being like, okay, now it's this turn to do this video and this turn to do this one. And I feel like once again, people were like, Sarah, like we can tell that you're not really putting your effort into this. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I feel like there's just kind of like that underlining feeling that you pit in your stomach, I guess, that you get when you're posting something. And I feel like you probably can relate to this when you're just like, this content is not really good and I'm just posting it because I need to post it. And I feel like people can tell when there's something that's not you or not necessarily you, because people know like what you can achieve when you put good content out there. Mm-hmm. And they know what your best work is. And so they compare those stuff. And I mean, thank God our viewers and everything are very loyal in calling you out. Yeah. So it's kind of like a wake up call, I guess, that I needed to like stop doing that. And so I'm really excited. Hopefully in 2017? We're in 2018, aren't we?
Yeah.
2018. No more filler, guys.
No more filler. I love that. You talked a lot about success and like you did this certain path because you thought these steps were going to make you successful. And something that I've been working through the last year is really defining what does success mean to me? Because I think success can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. How do you define success and like what keeps you motivated towards driving towards that, you know, your definition of success?
I feel like my kind of definition of success is constantly growing every mm-hmm. day. I used to think obviously that it was money related and, you know, I need to make this amount of money this year to be successful. And, you know, it's great if you can do that, but it's like I said earlier, not fulfilling. So eventually you kind of got to reevaluate your definition. And so mine would definitely be growing your following and getting positive feedback, I guess. It's not necessarily like I'm not successful if I'm not getting positive feedback, but just getting that positive reinforcement from everyone around me, knowing that I'm like on the right track to bettering myself. And I guess what you even said earlier today, that you've seen a change in me in 6 months. And so like stuff like that, man, it's so exciting to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like getting that affirmation that you're moving in the direction that you want to go. I think that hearing how other people see you and see what you're creating and are really appreciative of it and like being very honest and truthful is like one of the biggest rewards that you can have, I think, as a creator. Seeing like having people DM you and having people message you and send you emails and comment on your videos and on your photos, those things matter like a lot. Mm-hmm. And how do they matter to you? Because they matter a lot to me, because it tells me like that I'm onto something, that, you know, if I release a podcast episode and it gets, you know, a couple of reviews and a lot of DMs, that means that episode related and resonated mm-hmm. to my audience, which means that's the kind of content I want to keep creating. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. And also like something that kind of made me feel like an influencer this year and like successful was like selling out of a dress this year. And it was a few weeks ago. I just posted about a dress that I found on Nordstrom Rack and it sold out in that day. And I was just like, damn, like mm-hmm. people actually listen to me. And that's mm-hmm. so crazy. Yeah.
Like they buy what you buy and they really do make decisions based off of your opinion. And I think that whole topic is like actually something I wanted to talk to you about, is the pressure of being an influencer, of having people listen to you. And then like, what does that really look like? Because that's a lot of pressure, like having people watch your videos and buy things that you buy. And it's a responsibility that I think sometimes influencers don't make it as important as it really is.
I thankfully kind of grew up doing this. And so, I mean, I'm not the best at giving advice for this, I feel like, because it's just second nature to me. I just feel like I've, ever since being like a mature young adult, I've had people watching me, and I feel like my parents too, in a way, kind of influence the way and remind me that there's people daily that are watching you. So you got to like watch out for yourself, because there's little girls that are like looking up to you. And, you know, if I post a stupid Instagram story, that girl could be watching it. And like, that's so sad. Like, I don't want to disappoint her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. Like always thinking about what kind of role model you are too, not just like a peer influencer, like a, you know, an adult to an adult, but you never know who else is watching your YouTube videos and like watching your stories and things like that. That's a really great point. So earlier you talked about comparison, and that's something I love to talk about on the show. It's something that I struggle with. I think all creators struggle with that. What are some ways that you battle comparison and kind of overcome it? Do you feel like there are certain seasons of life or certain times where you've felt like more envious of, because like, whenever I see people growing quicker or, you know, quitting their full-time jobs to become like full-time entrepreneurs, like those are little moments where I'm like, I'm so happy for you. And I'm also like, man, I wish that was me. Mm-hmm. So like, how do you overcome those thoughts? And I don't think they ever go away, but how do you be more aware that those kind of thoughts are toxic? Like they aren't they're not positive and they don't help you grow.
I don't know how well you crept on me if you went really deep back, but when I was in college, I actually struggled with an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. And I opened up with that on my YouTube channel when I was a senior in college. And so clearly I was not the best when it came to comparison, because I mean, obviously I was relating myself to other people's bodies, and that just kind of shut me down. And it was kind of one of those moments where my mom kind of was just like, you realize how skinny you are, and like there's people watching you. And I'm like, oh my God, like, yeah, you're right. Thank you, mom. And so thankfully I was able to like get out of that. And I was able to kind of post that video to kind of bring awareness to that situation and that kind of disease. And it was really inspiring to me, because I was like, oh my God, there are so many girls out there that kind of struggle with that kind of thing. Yeah. And being able to post that kind of stuff, I was like, wow, like everybody struggles and everybody compares. And it's easy to find someone on social media and be like, wow, that person's body is amazing. Like, I want to be a size zero too. And a lot of people can get swept up in it, especially in this day and age. Like, it's so easy to just go on Instagram and be like, wow, I wish I was this size, or I wish I looked like this person. And I think a lot of people struggle with that daily, and like being able to open up about that kind of stuff and almost raise awareness for that mm-hmm. was like the most rewarding thing, because everyone is always able to relate to that.
Mm-hmm. what I like about that, and thank you for sharing that too, is that whenever you open up and you share that struggle, it makes that struggle not seem so polarizing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just something that you're struggling with. It's something that so many other people on this entire planet are struggling with too. And I think sometimes we can make our story all about us, you know, because mm-hmm. we're in our own world, we're trying to reach our own goals, and we're kind of in our own little bubble. And whenever you're able to share a part, like a painful part of your story with, you know, your followers or people online, or in your case, your YouTube community, like seeing that come back and seeing all that positive reinforcement, but also other people sharing their story. You know, I think whenever you're an influencer online, you being vulnerable and you opening up and sharing stories like that, you actually make a gateway for other people to do the same, mm-hmm. which I think is like one of the most powerful things, in my opinion, of the internet, is that you, by sharing your story, you give kind of people a platform and the confidence to do the same thing.
And then also something, even kind of just to touch on when it comes to comparison, and I'm sure you do the same thing, but I feel like this is something that every 20-something can compare themselves or have this struggle, is getting on Facebook and seeing that so-and-so is buying a house or so-and-so is engaged. And so at this age, yeah, it's so easy to get swept up. And so, you know, you get so deep on that Facebook feed and you're like, damn, like I need to do this too. Like even today, I'm like, wow, I need to go buy a house. And then that's just for me comparing like other people's milestones in their lives mm-hmm. to my life. And obviously everybody moves along their chapters differently. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to like remind yourself that, but it's mm-hmm. good to remind yourself that, you know, this person might be doing that, but you know, it's okay for you to do yourself something else differently.
Yeah. I actually call that the path of should. Like this is the path of like all the things I should do. Mm-hmm. I should go to college. I should get a good stable job with good benefits. Then I should get married, and then I should have kids, and then I should buy a house and buy a van and go to vacations in Florida and like, you know, and like save for my 401k and my Roth RIA. Like there's all the things that I should do in this specific linear path. And I just don't think, especially if you're a creative entrepreneur, like that path of should, you should just blow that up right now.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Because like that path does not exist in the creative entrepreneurial, like online business, online content creator. Like your path is so different. And I think the quicker that you can make peace with that is it allows you to kind of like own your path. Cause I know that there are people that look at you, Sarah, and for you even listening, that look at your life and be like, man, I wish I was her. Like, man, I wish I lived, you know, in a beautiful apartment and had an adorable dog named Miller, you know, which is Sarah's dog's name. But like, I think it's also important to realize that there are people who are envious of your life too. Mm-hmm. And I think that a way that I can help people not be envious of me is to be real, mm-hmm. you know, and to share like, this is something I'm struggling with, or comparison, or like, I love your point of seeing everyone else's life and then also taking the time to realize that your life runs on a different schedule than everyone else's. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, you know, you can be 28 and still not be married.
You can be 20, you can be 35.
Yeah. Yeah, you can be like 40, you know, like what doesn't what matter. You are like just doing your life at your own pace. You're trying to accomplish your goals. And, you know, some goals are different than everyone else's. And I feel like if you're comparing your goals to someone else's goals, that's when things kind of get a little iffy, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, you're kind of treading on like dangerous ground mm-hmm. when you're literally comparing your milestones and your goals and your life to someone else's. It just makes your life seem so insignificant compared to someone else. And it's a very, like, it's hard, you know, and I struggle with it. Sarah, like, I know we both struggle with it still, but it's something like the more that you can become aware of it, I think the more you're able to combat it and you can like stop yourself in your tracks and be like, ah, I got to get off of Facebook. Or like sometimes I'll just unfollow people because mm-hmm. I'm just like, I don't, you know, I love that person, but right now where I am at, I don't need to be comparing my life to hers.
Especially being a creative, like, and having such creative friends. Like my best friend, Caitlin, is such a girl boss. And sometimes I'm like, holy cow, this girl's doing 700 different things. Why am I not doing 701 different things? And then I have to remind myself, obviously, like, we are different people. We are trying to accomplish different things in life. And that it's really important, you know, like, to know that that's good for them, but, like, good for you for doing whatever you're doing.
Yeah. So other than comparison, what are some other struggles that you think come along with being a content creator, a creative entrepreneur, like putting your life out there online? What are some other things that just come along with that whole journey?
Daily expenses. You never know where your next paycheck is going to come from. And so if you're traveling and you're spending so much money, you're kind of just hoping that, like, maybe you'll get a brand deal the next month because, I mean, there's the luxury of having a salary, basically knowing that you're going to have every month this much money and it's easier to budget. But like as an entrepreneur and like a just influencer, I guess, it's so hard to like set a budget because some months you have more money than the next. And I think learning to like balance that and understand that like it's okay to like sometimes dabble in your savings. Like when I was moving, I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna go broke if I don't do this. Like there's daily struggles that like, yeah, this girl's life looks flawless, but you should see her bank account.
Yeah. And that's actually something I think is interesting is like these really big influencers or content creators, you wonder like, how do they actually make money? Mm-hmm. You know, can you talk about how you make money? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So most of my money that I earn, so my income is another word for that.
I love you.
Okay, sorry. I'm a thesaurus here.
I don't know why we're laughing so much. Income. Okay.
Okay. I feel like I'm about to like DJ play that track. Like
sometimes when I lean in,
like, you know what I mean?
Are you ready for this?
Do you ever feel like that? Oh God.
Okay.
This is about how Ryan Seacrest feels daily.
Oh, I'm sweating.
I'm Ryan Seacrest.
You are.
I forgot what the question was. What was the question? Income?
Oh,
how I make my income. I make my income probably mostly from brand deals, obviously. I used to think that like a lot of YouTubers made, and a lot of them do, the people that get a million views obviously are making a nice fat check for their view count, but you don't really get that much from your view count. So you kind of have to earn your earnings through brand deals. And I would definitely say probably 75% of my income comes from brand deals. So thankfully, I have a manager who negotiates all that stuff for me. And ever since becoming a blogger too, there's also the reward style affiliate links that are nice, you know, check to receive, but it's not anything sustainable. So anything that I make from that, honestly, swear to God, anything that I make from affiliate links goes right back into my channel and, you know, wardrobe so I can post on Instagram. So I get a lot of questions on where that stuff comes from. And that's the answer, as real as it can be.
So it just kind of self-sustains, like you're putting that money back in. So tell me what a brand partnership looks like, because I still feel like there are people who, and even me, I don't know all the ins and outs of all these different kind of really big brand deals, negotiations, and kind of walk us through what that looks like.
So I have a weekly call with my manager. Her name's Abigail. She's like the sweetest human ever. I've been working with her for years and she's kind of seen me growing up, which is so cool. You know, she's, it's like a dance teacher, you know? They see their like their little kids grow up. And so anyway, that's my rant about Abigail. But she'll bring brand deals to me, not exactly weekly, but she'll tell me who she's negotiating with. And eventually she'll send me a contract. She'll be like, you're going to get paid X amount of money for doing this. And most of the time it's a video, whether that be a dedicated video or a mention or a feature. So mention will basically be like 30 seconds. Here's this. A feature will be kind of more than that. Or there's like the dedicated video, which is everything that you're going to want to know about this. And the entire video kind of revolves around that product or that app or something like that. So we'll decide that. And if I don't like it, then I'll tell them no, because a lot of times I get some really weird offers. And you know, you have to be responsible and know that that's actually an authentic thing for your channel and that people would actually like it or that you might actually use it. And so I thankfully can tell her, like, no, this is not going to work on my channel. Like, my viewers are not going to buy this, so I don't want to even promote it. And then I usually make the video, and the turnaround time is usually about 2 weeks. And then sometimes the brand will take a while, which is my biggest complaint. They like to take their dang time on reviewing the video and getting back cuts. Usually it's one round of edits, and then I'll send them the edited version, and then we decide on a date. So that's really basically cool. How it goes.
I didn't know any of that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. I didn't know that it went like that with a brand deal for YouTube specifically. Because mm-hmm. a lot of the stuff that I've done has been like Instagram or just trading content for products or services. That's really cool. So what's the weirdest offer you've ever gotten?
This might be inappropriate, but I got one from Trojan once.
Oh, snap.
I turned that one down. My manager did not bring that one to me. That was just through my email. And I was just like, I'm not even going to respond to this one because why would I talk about that? Like, that's just not something I want to talk about on my channel.
Right. Absolutely not. I totally, totally get that. So for someone that's just getting started or someone that's like has a YouTube channel and maybe they've been doing this a specific tutorial type of strategy, but they want to get into brand partnerships, or someone that, you know, is growing their Instagram, or I know you just started a blog in April.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I stalk you way too much.
Thank you.
Yay. So how would someone get started on pitching to brands, or like even just getting started working with brands, like that relationship? What does that look like for people that don't have a manager?
I am part of like a bunch of little Facebook groups. And so you can join all these different like blogging or YouTube Facebook groups. And a lot of them kind of go into pitching yourself to brands because it can be very intimidating. I remember my first time I ever pitched myself to a brand back when I first started my YouTube. I was so nervous. And or even when they asked me like, how much do you charge? I remember asking $20. I really thought I made it big. And so,
that's so great.
I was like, wow, this brand really wants to pay me $20. Like, that is awesome. And so I feel like there's just, you got to be realistic with how much followers you have. And you can't obviously oversell yourself because eventually brands are going to be shooting you down. But as long as you're realistic with the amount of followers you have and like the brands you want to work with, it's going to be a slow, gradual thing. Obviously, there's not going to be a billion brands jumping on you right away. But I would say definitely start off with just kind of trading your posts for products. And then as your content grows and your followers grow, maybe start charging for brands, and eventually everything will fall into place. Like, that's honestly the best advice I can give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, like starting out trading for products or services and then showing brands the kind of content that you've had, like going to a brand and asking for money up front whenever you don't have a portfolio, mm-hmm. like you've never really worked with any brands before, they're probably not going to say yes to you. So I do think you have to have a good amount of portfolio work. I like to call it portfolio work because mm-hmm. I think content is art. And whenever you're working with a brand or you're shooting with somebody, that's another awesome project that you can put in your portfolio. So I know whenever I pitch to brands, I come with a portfolio of like 12 different projects I've worked on. Mm-hmm. And then that gives them an idea of the kind of content I can create, as well as the variety of content and editing styles and things like that. So giving them an opportunity to really see what you can do versus like, hey, I have a blog or a YouTube channel, you should pay me money for some product. That's just that's something about influencer marketing that really ticks me off, mm-hmm. is that bloggers, vloggers, whatever, influencers don't sometimes really take the time to see how much they're really asking for from a brand, and making sure that you're really going to put in the work and the editing and the creativity into that project.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, just to give you a nice little ego boost, I think something that you are really good about is working with hotels. Like, yes. I think you're so good at that. And I think like hearing you talk about pitching to hotels and stuff is so inspiring because you have all of these examples and everything like that. And so I don't know. I just wanted to toot your horn a little bit.
Toot, toot.
She's you. Awesome.
Thank you. But I think it goes to show, like, so I only have a little over 7,000 followers on Instagram specifically. I have like 16 YouTube subscribers because I just launched my channel.
She's getting big.
getting real big real quick. And then Sarah has like, I don't know, 280 Instagram followers and like 350-ish YouTube subscribers. And she's getting like, you know, really big brands. But I want to give you hope that for someone that's smaller like me, that there is also a possibility to still pitch your creativity and your art and still work with brands. It's just probably the income from that is just going to be different, you know, because your scope and your reach is just, you know, smaller than someone that's bigger. So don't walk into the room thinking that you deserve more than really what you have to offer, mm-hmm. which I think is tough.
A lot of brands are working with smaller influencers because they're understanding that those smaller influencers have like a lot of loyal followers.
Micro influencers.
Yeah. And so they want to work with them because they can work with a bunch of them. And I think that is so cool because there's just proof that everyone can grow in this community, which is so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that too. It's the micro influencer. You've kind of seen that movement, I think, in the last year specifically, because as a creator, as you get bigger and you have hundreds of thousands of followers, that does come along with more money, mm-hmm. you know? And so working with micro influencers for brands, like the budgeting, you know, mm-hmm. is just different, but I totally agree. Girlfriend, I could talk to you and ask you questions for hours, but I wanna wrap up. Thank you so much for coming on the show. So much goodness in this episode. Before I ask you my last question that I ask every guest, I would love for you to share, where can people find you online, Instagram, YouTube, all of it?
So I just made the big transition a few months ago from my old Sarahbell 93X to Sarahbell Elizabeth. So you can find me on Instagram at Sarahbell Elizabeth. And then my YouTube channel is just type in Sarahbell. My face will come up. That might be a good or bad thing, depending on who this is. Or you can find me on Twitter, Sarahbell 93. Can't seem to get Sarahbell Elizabeth because it's too long, but one day there's hope. Yeah, so that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Thanks, girl. I'll link all of those in the show notes as well. So you guys can tap in the show notes and you can subscribe to Sarah's channel and then check her beautiful Instagram out. Okay, girl, my last question for you is, what does the laptop lifestyle mean to you?
I mean, other than Alexis, because Alexis becomes such a sweet friend over the past few months. But like, honestly, though, the laptop lifestyle is literally you. And I think that's so awesome. So every time I like see that pop up in like a hashtag or something, I get so excited because I'm like, oh, such a sweet friend who's growing and being such an awesome person, putting out awesome content. And so as cheesy as it is, that's what it means to me.